want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. And we pray that you are having a wonderful day. My wife and I are planning on having a wonderful, glorious week this week. And hope that you are planning to do the same. Want to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. 321-749-1432. Is how you can reach them. 321-749-1432. You can also reach them at 321-452-5565. That gets you in touch with Space Coast Nursery, another aspect of their business. That's north of the Barge Canal here on Merritt Island on State Road 3. The address is 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. Treasure Your Landscapes, a licensed and insured family business. They're based in Brevard County. They have over 20 years of experience in the landscaping business. They have a full array of products from artificial turf, putting greens, landscaping services, paver installation, drains and downspouts, landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair, design, planting, maintaining. They do absolutely everything. One of the things that they can do is they can tell you what will thrive in your environment. And that's what they have done for us. And I would tell you that our church has never looked better. It looks way better with them in creating the appearance of the front of our church than what I came up with. Everything I came up with ended up being too much sun, not enough sun, whatever it was. We had a good look there for a while, but it is phenomenal now, and we owe all of that to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. If you come to Merritt Assembly of God, you can see what one of their putting green looks like. You can also see a small sample of their artificial turf that is surrounding that putting green. They do a great job. They want to make your outdoor area look better than it's ever looked, and something that you will treasure getting to spend time in. 321-749-1432 is how you can get in touch with them, and we are thankful that they love Jesus and thankful to have them as friends of the Refresh radio program. So today we are still going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We spent Friday's program talking about that we've got to deal with our fear before we can deal with our armies. We have to deal with our issue or issues before we can deal with the multitudes of things that are looking to destroy us. We got to deal with the issues in us before we deal with the issues surrounding us. And the other thing that we shared on Friday's program was we need to understand the area of responsibility. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, God had said in verse number 15, for the battle is not yours, but God's. One of the things that I've heard it said about successful athletic teams where multiple people are involved is that every person focuses on doing their job. They take care of their responsibility, and then if they've been very successful at that, they may look around to see if another person needs help with the opponent, you know, overcoming them or whatever. But we have to take care of the things that we're responsible for. And I'll say this. When my wife and I were raising our children, one of the things that we did was we created a mindset of responsibility that they had for their life. Now, it wasn't a perfect implementation. I made a lot of trips to school because of forgotten lunches, forgotten homework, forgotten band instruments, and things like that. There were a lot of those trips. But I'd say probably from sixth grade on, we would tell them, look, you're responsible for getting your own self up. You're responsible for getting your breakfast, and you're responsible for getting your lunch, and you're responsible for getting yourself to school on time. Sometimes that meant, you know, we were taking them. Sometimes it meant that, you know, they were riding the bus. Sometimes they were walking to school, depending upon how close we were. That might have seemed harsh in, you know, modern times, but it's paid tremendous dividends in their lives as adults. All of them thrive in work environments because they understand responsibility. So my son was promoted numerous times in his service to our country. My daughter signed up to be a teacher's assistant when she was in college, ended up being the head of the teacher's assistants in the science department, and was an assistant to the head of the science department at the school she went. Another one ended up being a stage manager for productions at the Bible College, and has increased and climbed the ladder of responsibility in every job that she has been a part of. And so I'm very thankful that they understand responsibility. A lot of times people want to step in and make sure that their children don't fail. And we took the approach, we wanted to teach our children the price tag of failure in a stage of development that would not be fatal. And so we wanted them to realize that if you do not live a responsible life, there are consequences. We just wanted to do that in as controlled and a safe environment as we possibly could, because we wanted them to not be destroyed by their mistake. We wanted them to learn from their mistake. So let's move on to what we have for today. So in verse number 16 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says this: tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So the point I would share with you in this particular battle that would be helpful in our day-to-day development of a life of praise is this. You can praise God because he knows the strategies of the enemy, and he knows where to find them. God is never ambushed. He is never unaware. He's never surprised. So the fact that we can pray to God and God speaks to us and says, I know your enemy. I know where to find them, and I have a plan to defeat them. That should be a praiseworthy event. So we don't want to treat our enemies like allies. That that was probably one of the biggest areas of weakness for Jehoshaphat, who is the king we're talking about in this passage. Jehoshaphat was so motivated by being united. He was the king of the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. He was so interested in being united with the 10 northern tribes that were led by Ahab, who was idolatrous, and then his son. He was constantly trying to create an alliance that with people who shared a common background, but they did not share the same spiritual value system. They weren't even close. Ahab was hostile towards God. Jehoshaphat was intent on seeking God. And so those attempts to create an alliance with enemies always resulted in failure. And at one point in time, it almost resulted in Jehoshaphat being killed. God knows the things that are enemies to our spirit, enemies to our flesh, enemies to our mind, enemies to our health. He knows the things that are enemies to our finances, enemies to our relationships. God knows our enemies. So when he tells us where the enemy is located and what their strategy, when we go out, we're not going out to play nice with the things that are out to destroy our health or destroy our marriage or anything like that. We're not trying to just control that. I don't know about you. I want to make sure that any threat to my well-being as a person, as a child of God, I want to make sure that's completely and totally eliminated. And that's the truth. So I value God's insight, and he tells them, you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. The next thing I would point out about this passage is in verse number 17. He says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. So God, as he speaks authoritatively from his position as God through his servants, he will tell you what not to do. So in this case, he tells them, you will not need to fight in this battle. So one of our temptations is once we found something that works, we generally like to stick with it because we know it worked. Like I've said earlier in this series, God here is not giving the people of Judah a once and for all formula for victory. He's giving them specific strategies for this battle. We learn the principles here of what God will tell us. Sometimes he will tell us what to do. Sometimes he will tell us what not to do. In this case, he said, you're not going to have to fight this battle. There have been things in my life, and I was like, God, I want you to fight this battle. And he said, amazingly enough, I want you to fight this battle. There have been other times when I wanted to take a course of action, and God said, you're not going to need to take a course of action. I'm going to take care of this myself. So the real question that we have to address is when we are seeking God's face and we're faced with challenges, we need to say, God, what don't you want me to do? In this case, they were not supposed to fight. Amazingly enough, that was the same strategy that God had given them. If we talked about it earlier in chapter 20, up in verse number 10, and now here are the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. God's strategy still had not changed. These were still tribes of people, nations of people, but they were relatives. Ammon and Moab came from Lot. Mount Seir was the Edomites. Esau, the brother of Jacob. And so God had said, you're not supposed to treat these people as hostile. And so here he says, you're not going to have to do any fighting. That's a good thing. He then tells them what to do. So he said, position yourselves. It's always been an interesting observation for me to watch how people position themselves outside of church versus how they position themselves in church. What I mean by that is, if you go to a concert, you generally want to get the best seat that you can get, to where you can have the best view and enjoy the experience as best as you can. And so if you purchase VIP tickets, you're going to get a much closer proximity to the stage and the person on the stage. That's how people position themselves. But when it comes to church, a lot of people want to position themselves towards the back of the sanctuary. They want to position themselves away from people. They want to position themselves in a place where the fewest number of people will notice them and the fewest number of people will interact with them. And I've always found that interesting. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, no one sat past about the fourth row from the back. And, you know, I understand it takes people a while to get to know you and things like that. And so after that went on for a while, I was like, look, I'm not a standoffish pastor. And so I just picked up the lectern that I was using, and I moved it back to where the people were. I mean, there weren't that many people there, and I wasn't, you know, threatening them or anything like that. I just wanted to be near the people. The Bible says a shepherd is supposed to know his flock. There's daily interaction with the sheep. And so I just like to make sure that people could hear me and things like that. Back then, my voice didn't project nearly as well as it does now. And then, I was going to a meeting, and God said, I would like you to sow a seed into Merit Assembly of God by how you position yourself when you go to, these meetings. And so what I did is I started going and getting as close as I possibly could. I wanted to treat myself as if I was VIP seating. We need to make sure that we position ourselves the way that God wants us to position ourselves. And I will tell you this, God opposes the proud. So we're not supposed to position ourselves in pride. We're supposed to position ourselves in humility. And God says, I give grace to the humble. This battle was not going to take place out of the eyesight of the people of Judah. They were going to witness it for themselves. God said, I need you to position yourself so you see what happened. You see how I intervene. God tells us in the book of Acts that the testimonies that we share are supposed to be the things that we see, the things that we hear, and the things that we do. So positioning ourselves the way that God wants us to position ourselves sets us up to be able to share the testimony that is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. God could just as easily ambushed those three armies without telling the children of Israel what he was doing. And they would have gone out there and said, huh, that's interesting. I wonder what happened here. But God said, I want you to position yourself so you see what happens. It's one of the reasons why I come to church. I don't just come to church because I'm the pastor. I go to church when I'm not the speaker. I go to church and when we're out of the area and things like that, I go to church and I'm there to experience. I'm also there to learn. I'm looking to see if there's something that they do that would make Merit Assembly of God better. You know, how do they do their bulletin? You know, how do they do this? How do they do that? I'm going because I visited a church one time and they said, oh, is this your first time here? I said, yeah, I normally have to work on Sundays. And then I explained who I was and they knew who I was. I was from out of the area, but we were there with family that day. God told Jehoshaphat what to do, position yourself. And he also told them this, stand still. Stand still. Fear wants to cause us to run, or it wants us to be immobilized. Standing still, one of the things that I've seen is that when, if you're in a wildlife experience, that standing still is one of the things that may disarm or lower the threat level should you encounter an animal that has, you know, looks at you like your breakfast, lunch, or dinner. There are some other things, and, you know, I don't go out on wilderness hikes and things like that very often, never. So my wilderness hikes are on a golf course. But when it comes to a spiritual battle, God says, stand here. Now, I will tell you this, when in the wilderness, when the children of Israel were attacked by the Amalekites, Joshua was leading the battle. Moses was standing there with his hands lifted up, interceding, and Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, held his arms up so that Israel prevailed in the battle. So God told them what not to do, fight. He told them what to do, which was position yourself and stand still. And then the third thing that he said to do was to see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. I want you to see it. I when we have our altar calls, you can see a person who responds at the altar call, but you may not see the transformation for a while. We did a renovation project at the church. It was superficial, and we took down something that was ugly and deteriorated, and we put up something that was more modern, and it looked a whole lot better. It took us a couple of days to do it, and at the end of a couple of days, everybody had left, and I was getting ready to go back into the building. My wife was in the building, And she came out, and I was just standing there. I was standing there, and I was looking at the work that had been done. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I deal with people. And people, they grow in stages. They grow in increments. Sometimes they grow quickly. Sometimes they grow slowly." I said, "Most of the time, whenever I preach a message, I don't get to see what the end result looks like. The message is not necessarily the transformative moment. The message is many times the planting of the seed." I said, "This project here gives me a little bit of an experience of what everybody else gets to experience whenever they go build something. They're able to look at it at the end of the day and say, 'Wow, look at the progress that has been made.'" And I said, I'm just here enjoying just a moment of gratification of seeing what the end result looks like. Now, I will tell you, the people that I did that project with, they came up with better ideas than what I had. Things that made it go quicker, things that made it go better. The same thing here is true, because God tells the people through the prophet, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you." My question is this: who's with you? Who's doing life with you? If it's not God, you might have company, but you don't have the best of company. You might have good people, but God wants to be with you. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He doesn't want to be there as the silent observer. He doesn't want to be there as the silent partner. He wants to be there as Lord, God. He's the one who is with us. He is the one who is called alongside to help. Let him do what only he can do. Let him do what he wants to do. Stand, position yourself. Stand there. Watch, and watch God who is with you. And I just want to remind you this. I'm starting to run out of time. He's with you in good times. He's with you in bad times. He's with you when you're young. He's with you when you're old. Don't live any more days than you have to without God being with you. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."